It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
This summer, I've been enjoying a visit from an old friend who hasn't been in my garden for several years. When I first started my flower garden, I set out a start of bee balm and soon rejoiced in the wonderful pairing of aroma and color that was enjoyed by both human and insect visitors. The bee balm soon became one of the stars of the garden, looking for all the world like July 4th fireworks as it bloomed in perfect timing for the national holiday, with brilliant spiky bursts of hot pink blossoms. Set against purple stalks of surrounding lavender and clouds of white yarrow blooms, it offered me daily affirmation that the trials and tribulations of gardening do result in wonderful visual paybacks. And if the blooms weren't enough reason to stop and sit a while, the citrusy smell of the dark green foliage offered further inducement. But then I fell into a job that left little time for gardening, much less sitting and savoring the results of my gardening efforts. Over the years, the bee balm sort of faded away, probably because I didn't divide and replant to keep it going. So the past few years, my flower garden was bee balmless. But this year, I renewed our friendship by planting several starts, both in the flower beds and the vegetable garden, where the oils from the roots of this most useful herb supposedly helps to ward off subterranean pests. And bee balm's foliage will also become a kitchen companion, as its leaves and flower petals make a tasty garnish for fruits, salads, and yogurt, as well as a popular herbal tea blend. In fact, the leaves of the plant offer the makings of a tea steeped in our nation's history. Bee balm is also known as melissa, monarda, bergamot, or horse mint. It's native to North America and was used by the Native American tribes of New York State for medicinal purposes and as a basis for a mint tea called Oswego. They introduced the herb to early settlers, who in turn sent seeds of bee balm to England and the European continent. During the beginnings of the American Revolution, Oswego became quite popular among the colonists as a substitute for the imported black tea that was ultimately served at a tea party in the Boston Harbor. Perhaps it was then brewed up for King George and the Redcoats, as it has a medicinal reputation of giving relief to severe headache. If you'd like to make your own cup of this revolutionary tea, harvest the leaves of bee balm before the plant flowers, while the tender young leaves have a light, minty taste. Later harvesting results in a strong and slightly bitter product. Strip the toothy leaves from the stems and let them dry in a warm, shady place for no more than 3 days. Too long a drying period in hot sun will discolor the leaves and sap their flavor. Store the dried leaves in an airtight jar and place it out of sunlight for longer shelf life. Being a member of the mint family with its familiar square stems and strong root system, bee balm will spread in your garden if given half a chance. Therefore, you might want to plant it in a contained area or in an underground plastic pot in order to maintain control. Or better yet, dig it up every 3 years, discard the old center, replant one of the outside clumps, and give the rest to friends. And yes, the name does speak for itself, because I've seen bees investigating the blooms. However, the bees really seem to prefer the sage and lavender nearby, and leave the bee balm for the butterflies, who simply adore it.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.